G, Leo G, or no G.
You're not bullish enough.
Yeah.
Oh no, you're not bullish enough.
You ain't got the or no. I get stoned by the bolo.
Bitcoin sets a holo.
Yeah.
Experts on reload.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not bullish enough.
Yeah.
Oh no, you're not bullish enough.
You ain't got the or no. I get stoned by the bolo.
Bitcoin sets a holo.
Experts on reload, reload.
Man, boo getting hot. Everybody wanna rock.
Hey.
Rooms is coming, everybody on a night, ay.
It's a nuisance, order no revolution,
ay.
Order no revolution.
Yo, is my guy for real, bro?
Friends, though.
Got friends right now. Yo, BRC420, bro.
Doing the anthem.
Yo, that shit found fire, bro. Imagine if he in here.
Yeah, like it in the steel.
Murder.
I got balls of steel. Nookie's on the field. Yeah, this shit for real. With no calls, I get so far. Got 100 phone calls that I go hard. And they gon' love me. Smoke weed, huddle back. I get shiesty. Where my Bitcoin looking lovely. All this Satoshi's nothing above me.
Bitcoin's alive, what you gon' do? Mempool fees are high, high. Order no, order no, order no. Where does it stop? Nobody knows. It's a revolution, ayy. Bitcoin is the one, no substitution, ayy. Wish you see in your go, be it's order no revolution.
Welcome back to Ordinal Revolution. My name is Shizzy. On this channel, we cover the entire Bitcoin ordinal ecosystems. What is up, guys? We have an amazing show for you guys today. We are live for another ordinal hour, and it's going to be an epic one. We're going over the topics this morning. There's so much to go over. Runes is 4 days away. There's mints, there's drops, there's craziness happening everywhere in the entire space. We're going to cover it all right here, so stick with us. So, but without further ado, we bring in my partner, as always, Mr. Yago B. What's up, buddy?
What is up? Good morning.
I did forget to talk about, as the launch of Runes gets closer, make sure you guys etch all your runes with sathunter.com for great rates. Plus, sathunter.com has the top paying referral program in the industry. When you refer a friend, you earn 50% in service fees as well, in paid in Bitcoin. Etch runes with sathunter.com. And we also have a referral link that helps the show as well. But besides that, man, how was your weekend?
It was good. It was good. Just really prepping for this big week that's, you know, here. It's here, right? And then, you know, touch some grass and stuff. Spent time with family. We got to do that before we get, like, glued to our phones and our PCs and all that stuff. Because, you know, you got family's important, right? And stuff like that. You got to enjoy your life. And that's what I did as much as I could this past weekend. And I'm ready now. I'm ready. I'm excited. This week is here. We're going to be covering so much rune stuff. But also, we're not going to forget about, like, the ordinal collections and stuff like that. We're going to touch on those things as well.
100%. Yeah, I was doing the same. I took my family to a Phillies game, which was fun, and then went to got some steak dinner. So definitely a good weekend. Told the family, hey, don't expect me to do anything next weekend. I'm going to be probably wearing the same clothes for 4 days and not showering and just being stuck in my computer because it's going to get nuts, bro. It's going to get nuts. So we did have some conversations with a lot of people around the runes and got a lot of people's different strategies and stuff. What did you get from some of those conversations?
That, like, everybody's making sure that they're not being left behind, right? That they have a strategy and in place. And there's, like, everything from, you know, the having your own node or having someone that is specialized in that kind of field to kind of handle what they're trying to do all the way to like being ready for these third party, you know, etching services and minting services and, you know, just the kind of concerns and what they're not worried about and stuff. It was very interesting hearing from like multiple different perspectives at different levels of how this is going to go, because it's going to go all the way from like the miners that are like right now it looks like they're able, they're in a position of power, right? Like able to like bid or auction off these blocks. And there's a lot of people like willing to pay a lot of money for them, all the way to the end retail user or, you know, ordinal user that is just wanting to use a third party service to make it easy.
So. Yeah, for sure. And that first block, man, it's going to be absolutely insane to see what happens. Guys, we are 4 days away from this epic craziness, right? Ugh, dude, it's going to be insane.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And we'll get into a little bit of like some of each of our perspective on like how this probably from a technical standpoint, there's going to be caveats with Casey's like fingerprints all over it. But from a technical, like fundamental standpoint, you know, this is going to be similar to something like on Atomical's market, but his caveats are, Casey brings flair, right? He brings like we're going to get into some really interesting stuff that we were talking about just pre-show that you and I were like, let's get into some of these DMs and ask questions about. We got answers like that. So, I'm excited about that. We'll talk about that in a second.
Yeah, man. But, I guess we get right into that BTC price action, right?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's get into it. There was some big news. We kind of knew this was, we did know this was happening before the weekend, but Hong Kong approved the Bitcoin ETF. And so that, you know, seems like it's kind of brought that price action back up a little bit after there was some scary, you know, news about more of just like world, you know, the world news events with the Middle East over there and stuff like that. But guys, if you've been in these cycles before, you should know that, like, especially like if we're right before a bull market, right before a bear market, you know, it can, you know, help propel, it can kind of maybe like help go down, but it's not going to be the main factor of price action. But it seems that way because that's what the everyday person thinks. And you could see like price did go down all the way to, I think it went down to like wicked to 60K, but you know, it definitely bounced right back up to 64, 65. Right now we're sitting at like, I think, was it 64,372 right now? No, 65. So we're at 65,500, right? So, you know, there was a lot of, not a lot, but a couple comments in there saying, Shizzy, please don't call that a head and shoulders or something like that. And I'm like, bro, come on. It actually did do the dip down to
it what
would expect a head and shoulders come down to. But really right now, it's kind of that chop, right? Chop back and forth, 62, 65, 66, 67. I expect, you know, this Bitcoin ETF approval from Hong Kong to continually propel it slowly up until the halving. And then end of April, early May, in my opinion, is where we start to see some traction and price go up. I don't think it's going to happen right at the halving or even the week right or a couple days right after, but maybe like the last couple days of April heading into May. But we'll see, right? We're not magic eight balls here. But yeah, so on the hourly chart, you just see a lot of sell pressure here on the MACD starting from Thursday, really. It hasn't turned green since Thursday, which is pretty, oh, this is the daily. I was about to say that's kind of weird because it usually doesn't last that long on the hourly because the hourly flips back and forth.
Yeah.
But you can see here on the hourly, actually, we've been in the green in the hourly and just now getting back into sell pressure here, which makes sense because we were back up to what, 66, 67, and then now we're back to 65.5. I don't know. Like you said, we don't really care too much about Bitcoin's price action unless, you know, it's going to be something that's take, you know, down like 15,000 over like a week's period. That's something that would, I think, take the breath out of our lungs. But I don't know. How are you feeling right now about sentiment?
Yeah, like you said, though, it's like, you know, anything under probably like, I would say like 58,000 would be like, uh-oh. But I mean, as long as we stay above 60, I think, I mean, we're good. I mean, you got to remember too, we're, you know, what are we? We're 64. I mean, that's, you know, we're right in range. We're like under 10,000 from the all-time high. Like, that's pretty freaking good for being something at 6,000. That's less than 10%. A 10% move in Bitcoin could happen, in, you know, easily, right? And what happened last time, the last time there was like a war scenario, Bitcoin did dip, but then it did pop. I mean, that was leading into a terrible year of risk off. And I'm really hoping that doesn't happen again. But only time will tell, but we have runes to look forward to. It's like, you know what I mean? Like a lot of my Bitcoin is going to get turned into runes. So I'm not really not worried too much.
Yeah. Same as me. I feel like this is just kind of us hitting on the Bitcoin price action every day because we got to touch on the king. But yeah, we already talked about this. You know, Hong Kong conditionally approved. So it's a conditional approval. It's first spot Bitcoin and Ethereum exchange traded fund. So I guess did they go ahead and approve the ETH side too?
Yep, both.
Oh, wow. They kind of jumped the gun there. But like people were like, okay, how is the city of Hong Kong reacting to this? And I saw a Twitter post of a huge Bitcoin ETF advertisement outside of a big building in Hong Kong. Yeah. So they're all for it. They're here for it, for this bull run. And I think it's just going to feed into like that price action of just, you know, Bitcoin go up.
Yeah. I mean, we're, you know, a lot of times too, you know, after the halving, we do see a little bit of a dip. But that could happen too. But I don't think any of us in ordinals or runes are really going to notice because we're going to be too busy like in and out of runes into Bitcoin. Because at the end of the day, I said it yesterday, but it's never going to be the price of Bitcoin. It's always going to be how much Bitcoin you have, right? So because we all know where it's going to go. $1 million is the floor for the next 10 years, right? With 10 million being like, you know, confident and 100 million being possible. So per Bitcoin, because, you know, with 10, 20 years, who knows?
Yeah, exactly. So that is where Bitcoin is, guys. Remember, put your questions in the chat. We will get to those in the after hour, as we always do. So just keep putting your questions in the chat because we love to do the Q&A in the ordinal after hour. But with that said, it's time for Shizzy's roll call.
Get right into it. We got a new number one here, if I believe. We got Mike's World. I'm not sure if Mike has gotten the first number one spot, but I know he's number two a bunch of times. He might have gotten it once, if I remember correctly. But congratulations, Mike. First is first here. We appreciate you, buddy. Thank you for being number one, and thank you for always being a part of the show. Appreciate Mike's World.
Yes, sir.
And we have in that second spot, we have Saiyan, followed by Mr. Sheedy. What's up, buddy? And then we have Todor, Crypto Noob, always here. Danny, always here. We appreciate you, Danny. Stewie in the building. Glasshopper. Then we have Joko, always here. Green Man, always here. Pelpa, always here. Chief, welcome to the show, buddy. And then we have I Walk Alone. I Walk Alone again. And then we have Chain Watcher. Our boy, Patty Poo.
Let's go.
Akala, who's actually a new member starting today. Kyla, congratulations to you. And thank you so much for becoming a member. And then we have, we have the man, the myth. We have Chidi joining the show today. We have John. We have Gabriel. Who else? We have Joshua Hathaway, PDX in the building, Bishop Studio Vault. Welcome to the show. I think it's your first time here.
A lot of people.
Yeah, man. We got ASO in the building. We got Tim, AOD Art. Thank you so much, my friend. Welcome back. Welcome to the show. We got man Tree City West in the building.
Tree City.
And then we have 6ES, and that'll be the roll call for today.
What a roll call for a Monday morning. We appreciate you guys, man. Your Monday morning, evening, afternoon, or evening with us, no matter where you are in the world. We appreciate that. And, you know, we know that you guys are ready for runes just like us. So with that being said, we're just going to, you know, let's talk about runes. You know, 4 days away, runes are coming. Are you ready? Are you ready, sir? Shizzy.
Oh, dude, I'm more than ready. I've been looking forward to this day for probably almost 3 months. I think Casey came out in November and talked about runes, and then, you know, Pipe came out, and then, you know, the other one, what is it? Dude, I don't know why it's dropping. Atomicals came out, and then we're all just kind of waiting for runes, and then Casey says it's going to be on the halving block, and then that was a long wait.
I got to correct something there. So Atomicals and ERC-20 came out first. Then Casey came out with the blog article, and then Pipe came out after that. So that was kind of
Pipe trading before Atomicals for some reason.
No.
I remember Pipe Atomicals was talking, but I don't remember a marketplace or anything.
Yeah, you know what? Like that whole time period was kind of a little bit murky. Yeah. But like I definitely, we know who was in charge of like the Atomical market, right?
Oh, for sure.
You know, Eric BRC20 coins was one of the you know, took that initiative and helped build out that marketplace. So I guess we could ask him and see, but regardless, it was all around the same time period. Right. And so, yeah, man, with that being said, that's a great, like kind of segue because I'm on, you know, in the mindset of like, hey guys, like, yes, Runes is like literally this dressed up, like, you know, because Casey's name is behind it is why it's so huge. Cause like Casey created Ordinals, which every, like, it doesn't matter where you are in the world. If you're from the East, you're from the West, everybody respects Casey because he created this on-chain economy that's been flourishing on Bitcoin ever since it was rolled out. And now because of that, like, Runes is really heavily, heavily anticipated. But from a technical standpoint, like, we've had like Atomical Market. So you're able to trade these type of UTXO model tokens for a long time now. And then Pipe really hasn't gotten any momentum. I would say that's probably the least successful out of all of them. But like, you know, because of that, you know, there's like, I think these high expectations of people expecting Runes to be like this, you know, savior fungible token protocol. But what do you think, you know, because they're going to be trading these just like on the Atomical Market where, yes, the transfer inscription's gone, but it's going to be, you know, waiting for a buyer, listing your Runes listing, and then, you know, doing that exchange. Do you think that kills some of the hype or not at all?
Oh, no. Well, first of all, you got to remember, too, is like Atomicals wasn't the first either. It was Color Coins, right? So
yeah,
it's kind of all goes back to that. So saying Atomicals was first or even Piper thing, it's all kind of like it doesn't matter because Color Coins was the actual first and nobody was building on it until Casey.
I think that was 2013 too, like way long time ago.
So Atomicals took an old idea, brought it to life. Casey was like, oh wow, I should have thought of that, and then took it from there. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, Color Coins was the first and everything else is like the child of that parent, right? So but I think Runes, I think Casey's name on it, like I said before, CoinDesk and all these other protocols, once they finally realize what's happening here, they're all going to say the inventor of Ordinals, you know, Casey Rattimore is an inventor of this new protocol, and that's going to get people excited. The exchanges and stuff, they're going to get excited as well because of the liquidity that's coming in, right? So not a lot of liquidity went to Atomicals, not a lot of liquidity went to Pipe, right? I'm talking about big bucks, like the kind of money that's in Ordinals right now, and that's all going to leak right into Runes, right? It's Casey put them together, they're all one pro Ordinals. You can call Runes Ordinals, you can call you know, Ordinals Runes, like it's all kind of, you know, together. And I think that's the one point that you're missing there about Atomicals and Pipe. It's because Atomicals now is a part of this thing that it's rolled up inside of Ordinals.
Well I wouldn't even like put Pipe in that same category. Atomicals, like, you did have centralized exchanges invest in you know, being able to onboard like Atom, I think it was not KuCoin.
You can't count those. The shitcoin mechas, they list everything. When I think of someone
who was it though, it was Gate.io. Gate.io was the one that listed them. Yeah, but my point is the Pipe wasn't listed, is my point. Is like, you know what I mean, it wasn't listed, but Atom was, right? And it drove all the way to, I think, like 20 something bucks, right, for that token. But my point here that I'm trying to make is that, like, yes, it matters. Marketing matters and timing, because like that's the whole reason why Color Coins didn't work. It's 2013.
Yeah,
no one would really like wanted this like on-chain economy for Bitcoin then, right? There was the very small on-chain economy where the Counterparty and all the stuff, but like, now's the time for this on-chain economy, right? And no matter what anybody says, like, in the industry that we're in with crypto, like, marketing and branding matters huge, right? It matters so big. We're learning this, right? And so I think that's why it's such a big, you know, anticipation for Runes, and Casey put it out. And just to put it on top, a little extra something on top of this conversation is that Casey does have like his fingerprints on this. Like, you know, he developed the protocol to have like a parent and child type structure, and that actually kind of gets into our next little topic here, which is very, very interesting. How will rare sat inscriptions be integrated into Runes? Because that's something that got us excited, right? Yeah. When Casey talked about this on his blog post, is he wants this integration to happen. And we reached out to some people that specialize in it. And what did you find out?
So I reached out to Quarry. You don't know who Quarry is. He's from, can't think of the exchange. Was it?
Magisat.
He's amazing friend of ours. We've been friends for a while now. Definitely friend of the show, been on the show a couple times. But we reached out to him and said, hey, how will the rare sats be put into Runes? And he basically said that you can inscribe the deployment I guess you could say contract, but it's not a contract. The employment inscription on a rare set. So all the children of this parent now can
will be the tokens.
Will be the tokens, and it can all point back to the parent, which could be potentially like we were even getting excited about. What if they put it on an epic set, right? Like how amazing would that rune be? I don't care what the inscription number is at that point or what rune number it is. If it's on an epic set and you have coins, it's going to go to the moon, dude. That would be insane. But even something like, you know, like uncommon sets or something, it could get crazy.
Yeah. You know, the thing was in BRC20s, there was a token. It was, I think it was, what was it? Zing. It was the XING, and it happened to deploy on an uncommon set, right? But you have to remember that, like, yes, it deployed on an uncommon set, but once you start to do those transfer inscriptions out, that connection to that uncommon set disappears. So let's say like it deployed on an uncommon set, and then like everybody mints. And when they mint, those tokens get transferred away from that uncommon set into your wallet. There's no parent-child connection there. And then now the uncommon set part is gone, right? And eventually that deployer of that Zing token will probably sell off his tokens, and then there's no more connection at all anymore, right? But with this, you actually have that connection forever, because like you have that epic sat as a parent, and then all these fungible tokens will be listed as a child sat. You know, as child inscriptions underneath that parent inscription. So that's why I'm so bullish on this concept. And I even brought up, I went a step further and said, "What? Why couldn't someone use a sat that has like an alien node monkey as the parent of these fungible tokens? And then all the children would be, you know, like node monkey token or whatever, right? Underneath it. Right. And obviously my imagination's kind of going out, but like, I don't know if that's possible, but if it is, I think that's cool. Cause like now you have all these parent inscriptions that are backing these runes fungible tokens. So this I think it's crazy.
Yeah, it could get wild. It's definitely possible. The only thing is though, is like if the indexer just reads the last inscription, it's just going to read the deployment inscription. Right. And so you would have to do, you know, figure out a way to show both inscriptions, right? Because I think most indexers just show the last one, and I don't, and like, so that you're kind of burning that node monkey in a way, like you won't ever be able to sell it, you know. But yeah, I don't think that's the objective anyway.
Yeah, exactly, because like you won't be able to sell the epic sat, you know. But like the value of someone kind of like putting that as the parent forever, you know what I mean, like you could obviously like possibly like maybe transfer it to some other wallet. Maybe I don't know what that would look like, but you know, we're just learning about like runes right now. But I think these conversations are really cool to have because that's what, you know, I said, like from a technical standpoint, it's a UTXO model token. You know, it's easy for sexes, like, you know, centralized exchanges to be able to, you know, list, because it's one transfer to their, you know, their wallet. Versus the BRC20s, they had like trouble with that because it was like transfer inscriptions and all this stuff. So they love it. But the difference is these little quirky things that we knew Casey was going to bring.
100%. And the thing is too, is like a lot of these deployment inscriptions are going to get burnt, because if they don't get burnt, then you don't really know if the supply can be changed of the each token, right? So by burning the parent though, there's no way to do it. But you could create other tokens with that same inscription, I was thinking as well. So you could have brother and sister inscriptions from the same parent. It's just crazy to think about, because that one epic set, if it's created, like if it's a deployment inscription is etched on it, you could potentially etch a bunch on, right? So that would be pretty cool too. You could have a whole family of tokens on that epic set, which would be pretty crazy.
Yeah, and then you burn it and you send it to Satoshi's wallet, and then he wakes up one day and says, "What I got here?" No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. but I mean, like, would that take the value away, you think, if it's burnt, because it could never be repossessed?
Actually, it might give the tokens even more value. So if you're in it for the token value would probably double, triple during, like, right after the burning.
Yeah, but once you burn it, though, you can't have any more children after that.
No more.
It's no longer in your possession, which is dope in my opinion, because then it's locked at that point. Like, these tokens are only associated with the Epic Sat, and that's it from this point on, you know? And so if you get one of those groups that, and that's, I posted something today that people were like, or I said, we are not Ethereum, because a lot of people are looking at Ethereum. Yes, you can look at it as testnets, as mistakes and stuff like that, but don't try to replicate it exactly. Like, you know what I mean? Like one token standard or all these things, but maybe that works out. The market will determine, but this is what sets Bitcoin apart, is like having these rare sat possibilities and all this stuff with fungible tokens, which we never thought maybe could be a possibility.
Man, runes is coming, bro. Runes is coming, bro.
It's coming hard, man. I love it. Love it. Guys, put your questions in the chat. If you have questions about this, if you have questions about anything, if we can't answer your question, we will look to get an answer for you and, you know, hopefully get back to you in the Discord or for the next episode. But yeah, put your questions in the chat for after hour. All right. Do you want to go anywhere specific, or I feel like you kind of want to go somewhere specific next?
Yeah, let's jump. Just jump here. Right.
So,
So Karma Coin, Jason from Sora Capital or Sora Ventures.
Yep.
Yeah. So they came out with a thing today. There is a new rock in town. So they basically just took, Leonidas's rock and edited it a little bit. So it's not even like original. But the quantity is 30,000. The whitelist mint price is $1,000. And they want to do 30,000 of these, right? And these guys have something wrong with their brains, right? They're looking at Leonidas's rock and saying, oh, well, that's 5,000. We should easily get 1,000 for this. No, it doesn't work that way, because Leonidas's thing was a fair mint. It was a fair airdrop, right? It was a fair drop. This is extraction from your community. You were extracting $30 million for what reason? I have no idea, besides maybe to cover some of your track losses, right? Because they were buying track at like
$5,000.
I'm just saying, I'm just wondering where this
bag
money
of track. Me holds a bag of track.
I'm just wondering, but you're up on your bag of track, right? These guys are down because when they were buying. So I don't know if this money is going to cover some losses or what, but there's also a thing called the Karma Card. Right, and they were all expecting to get airdrop this thing, and they are not, because they're giving out this $1,000 each. This is really bad for the space, and I really think that Jason Fang and that team over there really dropped the ball with this, and it just definitely makes me sad for the community. I'm just glad that I'm not really a part of it. I mean, I got my $10 airdrop of Karma Coin, but that's about it.
Yeah, it's pretty wild when you have like an array of people in the community, kind of, you see in DM groups and stuff, like upset about this, that actually, you know, speak to these people and are friends with them, and they're like even upset and saying that they're probably gonna like cut communications off and stuff, and because we did see a couple of people say that. It just looks, the optics are horrible with this. I don't know if they have like some other plan with this, but like the mint price is ridiculous. And they might come back and say, well, how does, like, what about, you know, OMB charges a lot for their mints, and, you know, Node Monkeys charge, you know, $300, $400 with it, but it's different than
this,
like,
isn't a Node Monkey, though.
Yeah. And it's also like, you know, where's the value? Like, the value in Node Monkeys was that it was like a sub 100K inscription group. We've known that, you know, that's been around for a while and that they were going to launch. OMB, actually, even though like some of their inscriptions were low number, actually, the beginning, right? Yeah. And then like that culture was created as well. Like with ZK, like it was created as like, hey, this is a higher entry level collection. If it's not for you, it's not for you. But like, you know, they show up to Amsterdam, they do all these like sponsorships, they do all these connections with the community. You have spaces rammed daily by like, you know, Tommy Two Clubs and that community. So that's like, you can actually justify a lot of these, you know, different mint prices. But this one, in I'm not in this community, so I don't know if there's, that's why I'm like, is there like maybe some information we're missing? But it's not just us, you know, like I said, like other people in these DM groups are just like blown away by this mint price, right? So I don't know, there may be some like in real life gold or something that gets sent to people's houses or something for this, because this is kind of crazy.
Some Bitcoin or something, but the comments are just sad too. It's just like laughing my ass off. It's exact opposite of Runestone. Sorry, but the price is 1,000. Then you should create something on your own and not using the stone. And you know what I mean? It's just like, it's so bad. Like, they got to be reading this and being like, okay, did we mess up? I'm expecting this price to get dropped within the next like day or so. I can't see this going. I mean, it's saying what deadline for what is April 18th. The date this is the 19th. They're basically going to extract money from people who are saving for runes, right? So it's just sad. I just feel bad for the Benny boys who are part of this karma community. And you know, I think we should band together and just no one met any of these, right? That'll send such a statement to these VCs, basically saying you can't come to Ordinals and treat us like ETH guys, right? So I think we should definitely, nobody should mint this. Give them the big big middle finger and let them airdrop it the way Leonidas did.
Yeah. So. No. Yeah. I mean, this is something typically like whenever there's like, especially whenever like Shizzy comes out like pretty strong against something, I try to play the other side a little bit just because I feel like, you know, it's a fair kind of assessment. But with this, it's tough to do that, right? Because it's just like, I mean, $30 million is a lot of money, right? But we'll see what happens. We'll see if there's more information that comes out, and we'll see if they cut the mint price down.
I don't even know if they have 30,000 community members. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's yeah.
It's just sad. It's definitely a sad day in Ordinals for something like this. We thought Jason Fang was a part of our culture, but he's just not.
Well, let's see where the response comes from this, right? Because like they have to respond to this from a PR perspective, because it's just, if they don't, then I feel like that's not a good move. But we'll see what happens. But from that to some good lighter news is Ribbit. We got them frogs back on the move. They're at 0.120 now, guys. 120 back on the move. Showing the frog price here. So to all my frogs that stuck it through the dirty times, the hard, tough times, even at the frog party, there was a little bit of like a Debbie Downer feeling.
Nobody
in the beginning. In the beginning. But it's just like now, like for a little period of time, like it was depressing and like, you know, but like you got to have that faith and that hope and stuff. And then what happens, right? You wait around.
Yeah.
The night got better for sure. You know, we had the amazing
when French came.
When Violetta performed, actually,
yeah.
Shout out to her, man. She's an amazing singer. If you haven't heard Violetta sing, please go listen to her.
She wasn't there. You know, she left. She even left the party. She was paid to be there, and she was like, she left to go to the cat's party.
You know why she left? She left because, like, you know, they wanted her to push the performance back. So she just didn't want to sit there.
Paid to be there, and she didn't want to be there.
But hey, you can hate on the frogs all you want, but they're moving right now. They're moving right now. They're moving right now. French Montana came to the party. The party at the end of the night was lively. It was like,
that was all cool. That was our doing.
But that's what we do, right? We support the Ordinal community, no?
No, 100%. 100%. I don't know.
Shizzy's trying to fight it so he can get in. He's trying to find an entry. Says, you get the price you deserve. And Shizzy, I'm sorry, you can't have the 0.06, 0.07, 0.08 prices. They're gone. Ribbit to all my Bitcoin frog community out there. But yeah, no, congratulations. It's moving. It's obviously, we, you know, want to see this momentum continue on. What do you account this to though? Like it is pretty weird to see it kind of out of nowhere. I eventually expected it, but like, it's weird. It's like I said, the timing would be when no one expects it to move.
You see a lot of stuff moving though. So you see Quantum Cats up a lot. You see Puppets, you know, being the leader now. They take the spot from the No Monkeys. Ordinal MaxiBiz is up, you know, right there. You got three projects now, all around the same price, 0.44, 0.45, 0.46, being the Puppets, No Monkeys, and OMB, right? So, and obviously OMB market cap is a lot lower because there's a lot less of them. I think there's only 5,000. But you can see them all around the same price range, which I think people are considering a fair range, and the Quantum Cats are going to be there probably soon. And maybe the frogs need to make a run for that, to be in those top spots. We'll see. The frog community needs to get stronger. You know, the Swamp needs to be back. There needs to be a lot of support if the Frogs even want to get anywhere close to these big four, which are the Puppets, Monkeys, Cats, and Maxibus. So we'll see if the Frogs can be the fifth there, but there might be another collection that comes and takes the fifth spot, or the Frogs take it back or even jump maybe into the third, but we'll see. I'm not fully out on the Frogs. Like, I don't think they're going to like not do well. I just think that, you know,
it's too early to celebrate. Basically. Yeah. So what is that price? What is that price point for you to say, okay, Frogs made a comeback. They officially made that comeback.
Top three. If they can get above
Bitcoin, just the Bitcoin floor price. What would that be?
Market cap wise, I would say, if they can get back in the market cap wise of, if they can get above Ordinal Maxibus. So right now, Ordinal Maxibus has a supply of 5,200. So
it usually shows the market cap. I don't know why it's not. Let me go to this.
Yeah. Okay, so Frogs need to get to 0.26 to get the market cap of Ordinal Maxibus. If it can pass Maxibus in market cap, I think that you could see it really start moving again.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think, like, to me, I feel like 0.3 would be like a definitive, like, okay, they put their flag back in the ground. You know, Frogs are back, because they got their all time high was 0.41, I think, or around there. Yeah. Look, China is the king of like PSYOP and being able to, like, you know, sell off and then wait for the right moment to pounce and then start pumping it back up. And I feel like some of this is definitely coming from there, but it's also some of this is coming from the Western community too. Cause like you had Buoyant Capital that came out and said, hey, all Frogs are whitelisted on their Rune Doors mint that just happened at, I want to say like 40 minutes ago. And it minted out like that. I couldn't even get in, and I own multiple Frogs. So with that being said, you know, for me, this is definitely a positive. J25 and I were talking in the OSD, and he was like, man, I don't know. You know, he wasn't filling in. I was like, just hold on a little bit longer, you know, but I get why you're coming from this perspective. And then bam, it went from 0.06 to 0.121 now. And there's 10 pending, or no, seven. Yeah. Six pending buys right now. That's the only one ahead of it is Runestone. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. I think this next week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks is going to be very important for Frogs.
But I also think that everything's going to drop going in the runes. I think that, so I wouldn't,
it could do the opposite of everybody else though, because it's weird. Like Frogs right now, like, you know, we'll see. Wizards also did pump. That was a nice pump for the Bitcoin Wizards, but it's going to be interesting to see what happens here. Maybe it just reestablishes a more healthy floor and then, you know, chills there.
You could see everything else started to drop a little bit. I do see No Monks coming down to 0.3 something, Puppets coming down to 0.3 something, Quantum Cats coming down to 0.2 something, going into Saturday. I truly believe that. I think I'm actually looking for some buys at that point when everyone's chasing runes. I might come in and get some of these collections, potentially if they get cheap enough. But for me, I think the play is just to have liquid Bitcoin ready to go for Saturday. I think Saturday is going to be the big day. I think Friday is going to be tough to get anything. Saturday is going to be your window of opportunity if you want to pay 1,000 plus sats and V-bytes. But that's up to you.
Yeah. All right. Good little conversation there about the Frogs. Good to see them have a little bit more positive price action there. All right. So this is pretty big news.
Huge
news. The Merlin Seal is officially closed, guys. People that were asking us, like, when is that going to happen? So, you know, yesterday was the last day for the Merlin Seal points. What we saw from a post from Jeff and his team was that they're calculating all the points to make sure everything is, you know, all the data is verified. And then they're going to start configuring, like, or calculating how much, you know, everybody's going to get for the Merl token, and staking should be right around the corner. So, you know, this is going to be interesting because it's the next step in this Merlin story, right?
Yeah.
What's your perspective on this?
This is huge. I think this is something we thought was going to come 2 weeks ago, but the team decided to leave it open a little bit for the latecomers, which probably helped them out. I haven't got any new points in a few days, just because I don't really know what the reason was, but maybe they stopped it a little early. I'm not sure. But, you know, I've been waiting for this a long time. I have, you know, a lot locked up there, and I can't wait to start pulling it out and kind of getting it in the some hardware wallets and stuff like that, because it's just a lot sitting there, and it just makes me feel uncomfortable thinking about it. But for me, that's it. And obviously, by doing that, I earned a lot of the Merle token, a lot of it. And I'm excited to receive that and potentially just push that on the side, because that'll be on OKX day one. I know Arbitrum was on OKX day one. I know like all the new stuff, Stark token was on there. I can't see the Merlin token not, because they're huge backers behind the Merlin token. So it'll be on the actual exchange, a real exchange, not gate.io, but a real exchange like OKX and potentially some other ones as well, some bigger ones, maybe even Binance, but we'll see. And then once it gets put over there, guys, now you have another, I guess you would say, like Bitcoin derivative play, which is going to be Merlin. And that's exciting, because you might see Bitcoin go up, you could see Merlin double, right? So very excited for that. Merlin's a long-term hold for me. I won't be selling it in 2024 at all. If I do end up selling it, it'll be around the back end of 2025, because I think this is a super cycle, and that's how long that it really lasts. So,
yeah. It's going to be interesting, the unstaking period and kind of how that happens, right? Because, you know, if fees are high, it's going to be expensive to unstake everything and get it back to your wallet. So I wonder what the play is going to be there. Probably people are going to chill for, you know, fees to go back down. For me, like everything that's like BRC 420, I'm going to leave over here. But you know, my bitmaps and stuff like that, I don't know. We'll see what some of these protocols are going to offer, like Bitzard, once they go live and stuff like that. But with this being the next step and runes being, you know, right around the corner or like this weekend, and it's probably going to take the attention of this entire space for the next 2 months, I imagine, or at least month and a half. What's next for Merlin, in your opinion? Do you think it's kind of like head down and building for them and the protocols on there, be ready for like profits from runes to kind of flow back, you know, who might drop down lower, so might be opportunity, but what's your perspective on that?
So I think Jeff's going to do the unlocking the 18th. That's just my guess of just how his brain works. This is not coming from him at all. This is just how I'm thinking, because that would just be smart. You do a day before, you let everyone kind of get ahead of it. Jack up the obviously the fees will probably jack up in a couple blocks while as people are taking their stuff out. But that would be the play for Jeff, kind of get that out before the 19th. And then on top of that, it would so to answer your question about the Merlin token, I'm aware of about 7 or 8 dApps that are dropping this month over there. So BitSmiley, you know, we just saw Surf.one. There's a bunch of other ones that are slipping up my brain right now that are launching. I mean, Merlin Starter just launched, so there's gonna be a lot of tokens now you're gonna be able to do things with over there, and DeFi wise. So Merle's gonna be a big DeFi component. You're gonna see Merle with every token, because that's just how it goes. If you go to Arbitrum, you see the Arbitrum token paired with almost every token. So a lot of this Merle is gonna get locked up to earn yield, right? Especially in things like Surf, especially in things like Merlin Swap, and you know, all these other ones. BitSmiley is probably gonna have some kind of staking for Merle. And a lot of these tokens too, these newer protocols, are gonna have you lock up your Merle token to earn their token as well, because that's just kind of how it goes with these protocols that are building on a chain. They want you to lock up the governance token so they can control the governance, right? So they're going to have you lock up a lot of the Merle token so they can get a good hand on the governance. So you could see a lot of stuff happening with that. The Merle token going to get locked up way more than anyone thinks. But I'm very bullish on it, and I'm very bullish on holding it and finding a nice place to stake it the entire time I'm holding it. So
yeah, it just benefits these protocols that are like needing Merlin chain to be strong for them to offer a staking mechanism for the governance token, because you know, and then also they want it. It works both ways. One, they need the token to be strong, because then that brings it, you know, attention from outside in. Two, they want a strong stable token to be a leader liquidity pool for their protocol. Obviously, they want as much BTC and BTC or BTC wrap BTC and whatever, probably BTC and Merle, you know, those type of liquidity pools and then the stable tokens as well, because that just will make their protocol stronger as well. Right. Yeah. And like you said, the governance of kind of having ownership, temporary ownership of those tokens, they'll give them more governance power.
Well, yeah, they get to make the votes the way they want them to go, right? And then having the governance token also allows you to create a new rule. Let's just say, obviously, Jeff's team's making all the rules right now, but if somebody wants to come in and put up, you know, a new rule to be voted on, and they can kind of get a good percentage of the Merle, let's just say 15, 20%, and they can get, like, someone else who has, you know, 15, 20%, that's 40% of the vote, that can potentially get pushed through if they can, you know, all agree on something together, which is obviously the point of governance. And in the early days, that's kind of what you want. You kind of want to take control, get things how you like them to look, because potentially if the entire chain becomes like relevant, you're gonna be like, oh wow, that did work well, and then it's in your favor as well. So that's huge. They're all gonna want this governance token. They're all gonna want to be controlled, because that's the thing too. If you're gonna put your you know, put your hard work into something, you want to make sure that someone just can't come in and change the rules on you. And holding that token as well gives you a little bit of say in that. So you're gonna see a lot of these bigger protocols want to get as much of it as possible.
Yeah. Yep. So guys, be ready for these announcements if you are staked in the seal, so you can decide, you know, start planning in your mind, like what decisions you're going to make with this and stuff like that. I'm already doing that. But it's a big announcement. It's a big thing that's happening. There's a lot of stuff happening right now. Runes, all that stuff. So take that deep breath, kind of strategize. None of this is financial advice, but you know, it's more of like life advice. Right. But yeah, so excited about that. Excited about the Merlin chain, but I know it's going to be a little time after Runes calms down before that starts to get lively again.
Yeah, man.
All right.
Next on the docket.
You added this in here. So Trevor Owens posted and put kind of a PSA out there, or you know, an announcement that hey, he's willing to put a $1 million bid for the first block, the first halving block, out there. And then RareSat Society came in, followed up, and said they offered $5 million. So what's the angle here for them? Like, what's the purpose of doing this? Like, what do they gain? And how do you feel about this kind of, you know, well, back and forth?
I think TO just came in and set the floor, right? He was like, I'm setting the floor at 1 million. If I'm able to get it, awesome. If not, that's the floor. That's the least anyone's paying for it. And then Rare Sat Society said, we'll do 5 million. And then Elon Musk has came in and said he'll do $1 billion, right? So now I'm playing with that part. But I think someone's going to come in with a $20 million bid. I mean, there's a lot going on. So let's just say you're going to put $20 million up to buy this block, right? Because I know you have the bags. So you're going to buy this block, right? Think of what you could do with this block. You could deploy up to, you know, 30 different tokens that of your choosing, and you get to pick the mints, the deployments, everything, the names of them, everything. That is epic, right? Because you you'll now hold in your wallet the deployment inscription for, let's just say, 10 tokens, right? 20 tokens. That's equivalent to KC hard coding, right? So this is a big deal. You could potentially, I think I have the number here, you can 4,500 tokens. If you wanted to, deployment contract, like deployment inscriptions. So
the 4,500 mints. So that's how many mints it could you could max. I don't know if that includes etching or not, or if it's like you could etch like maybe it's probably the kind same of transactions, right? So like you would do 30, and then after that, like 44,970 would be the amount of mints you would have left that could fit in a block. Now, you know, you can set to mint out all of the tokens to yourself, which I'm sure that they're going to do some of these like that, and then break them out into like secondary markets. But yeah, man, like it's going to be, we had experience with one of, you know, our people, you know, acquiring a block and we know how that goes, and they just own everything, every transaction that goes into that block. So it definitely, like, so with that being said, what do you think the winning bid's going to go for that first block? If you had to put your guess a number, what number wins? Because 20 million is pretty excessive, but you know,
I think it's $21 million. I think that's the winning bid. So I think that, you know, people are gonna, it's gonna come to the last second, and then that person is gonna have complete control over the epic set, the uncommon set that's in there, the, you know, the black set that's in there. It's, you can, they're probably gonna make a lot of money off it, and especially having, you know, potentially you could grab the epic set and then inscribe on it in the next block, right? So that's
so much to gain. There's so much to gain from it, you know what I mean? Like, not just like being able to have like the opportunity to be the first, you know, etch the first 30 tokens, 100 tokens, whatever, 1,000 tokens, or but like the epic set, you know, like that, that's worth in itself, worth a lot. And so, but like from a miner's perspective, who like, how is it determined who gets that block, right? Is it predetermined at this point, like who's going to get that block, or no, is it like, so, it's,
yeah, so no one knows which group is going to get it, right? So that's the problem. So you can say, hey, I'm putting 21 million up, but let's just say, I don't know, a small, because once in a while a small miner, you know, it will say unknown, and that's just like a small miner
will win it,
will get that block. So these big boys might be anticipating grabbing it, but then not really, not actually getting it, you know. So there's something that Charlie explained to us.
Yeah, about the game of one block
ahead of it, can potentially grab it as well. But
there's going to be some gamified stuff that makes me think the bigger mining companies that have the resources will do whatever it takes to kind of win that, right? Because like, if you are a smaller mining outfit and you're just kind of like, okay, well, I don't give a crap about all this other stuff, I'm just here to like mine Bitcoin, they're not going to be in, you know, in terms of like the gamified part of it. So it probably will be like, you know, Monarch or Luxor or somebody that's like the Foundry, Antpool, something, right? That's huge, that has the resources to gamify and stuff like that. But man, it's crazy that they're going to be fighting for us, essentially. Yeah. You know, that, so that kind of makes us, that should make us people that have been here for a long time, our space, feel special and feel like, hey, something is happening, or we know something's happening here, but like, this is serious. Like, this is not going away. So for the Maxis, like the Luke Dash Juniors, sorry, but like, this is actually probably going to get worse for you because you don't want this to continue, but it's going to get better for us that want this on-chain economy to grow, because for the first time, really consistently, that's relevant, this, there's been an on-chain economy on Bitcoin where there's volumes that are relevant, right?
And at the end of the day, it's all good for Bitcoin, right? At the end of the day, we're all Bitcoiners, right? So we all want Bitcoin to do well. Bitcoin does well. Everything underneath it does well as well. So it's one of those things where, you know, Bitcoin getting all this security is huge, because it's going to give more people more reason to kind of become a miner because of so many transaction fees. So you're actually going to get more in fees than you will in the token. And that's what's going to happen later down the line after having is we need transactions to kind of keep going up and up and up, and for the chain to get more and more expensive so we can kind of keep the security of Bitcoin flowing. And this ordinals and runes and everything that's building on here is that, that on-chain economy is what's going to keep Bitcoin going when there's no more Bitcoin rewards left, right? So this is huge. This is absolutely monstrous. And you know, if people that don't like it, it doesn't matter. The government doesn't like Bitcoin, so it doesn't matter if you don't like Ordinal. So at the end of the day, it's good for Bitcoin, and you know, Bitcoin go up. That's all you know, not even Bitcoin go up. It's not even about the coin, it's more about the chain. The chain just keep TikTok next block.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is something I wanted to hit on before we get to the Q&A. But before that, just want to announce Rune Doors launch by Buoyant Capital. So Buoyant Capital was the company that actually did the 8 Bitcoin auction win for the runestone, the original inscription. And they launched this Rune Door launch. I don't know how this is going to go in secondary, but it's something you might want to keep your eye on. I just want to put the news out there. But yeah, so they whitelisted Frogs. They whitelisted another group as well. But it minted out really, really quick. So just keep your eye on that. But this is what I really want to talk about to kind of end this live stream before we get into Q&A. And by the way, please get into queue, put your questions in the chat for the QA. We will definitely get to those here in about 6 minutes. Okay, so Opcat you know, like with runes coming and everything, you see some people like making posts, and Udi is definitely one that's known not to be quiet. And he's kind of come out and said, hey, you know, runes is like this overblown thing. It's not going to be able to solve the issues that people are looking for, you know, in terms of like AMM and like functional swaps with that are decentralized and all this stuff, which he has a point 100% on all that stuff. But like for me, like I just don't see Opcat really being an option of being added back to Bitcoin Core. For those that don't understand what Opcat is, this is the play with the quantum cats in that whole collection. Their idea is to bring awareness to Opcat and how the ecosystem needs Opcat added back to Core, Bitcoin Core. And what Opcat is, it's an opcode, which actually was a part of Bitcoin Core. Satoshi had added it a long time ago, but he got afraid because he realized there were some holes with it that made Bitcoin vulnerable, right? And so there was the possibility to do DDoS attacks. And the reason why was because of the max allowed bytes, 520 bytes. It was larger than that before. So you could penetrate Bitcoin if you did a DDoS attack. So we removed it. And then, but with the Taproot upgrade, it makes the max 520 bytes. So that's kind of something that you don't necessarily have to worry about anymore from a DDoS attack perspective. But like a lot of these traditional Bitcoiners don't even want to mess with it, right? They don't want to think about it because they're scared and all this stuff. But what Opcat does is it brings the computational functionality to Bitcoin to allow automated smart contracts, right? And Udi's point is without these automated smart contracts, you can't have a decentralized AMM and decentralized swap, because Casey kind of came out with these light pools and stuff like that, that said that we could have this market maker environment and stuff. And that's when Udi came out and said, no, that's not going to work. So in your opinion, with that being said, Taproot solving that issue with the, you know, max amount of allowed bytes being at 520, and it seems to be able to kind of discard that idea of the DDoS attacks, do you think there's a chance at Opcat being re-added to Bitcoin Core?
Well, the DDoS attacks wasn't the only issue either. It opened up a lot of holes within Bitcoin for being, you know, secondary spent and stuff like that. It wasn't just DDoS attacks. It was more of like double spending and stuff like that that was possible before she took that out. And Satoshi had 51% of the, you know, of the supply at that point, so he was able to make those changes. And but Opcat will never happen. It's never. Larry Fink is now in Bitcoin. There's too much money in Bitcoin. There would never be another upgrade to Bitcoin unless it is crucial to fix the quantum computing. That's the only upgrade that's going to happen. I don't think Opcat or any of these things will ever happen on Bitcoin Layer 1. It's just not sustainable because these guys have just too much invested. For there to be a change and there to something to happen, and then we got to fork the chain. They have just too much money invested for something like that to happen. They can, and that's the thing that's one thing you have to understand too, is they control the miners, because now Larry Fink, obviously he's been buying up these miners as well. He's not just buying up the Bitcoin. So he wants control in the say, and all these miners, they have board of directors, and potentially in the future, you're going to see a lot of these, big financial cats, on the board, and they're going to say no upgrades, because they don't want things to change. These got old guys like how it is, because that's why they're buying into it. They don't want to see no changes happening. They like how the on-chain economy is happening now. It'll always be here. Somebody will innovate stuff to create smart inscriptions. There'll be innovation here on Layer 1 without the update. Opcat, in my opinion, will never happen, and I'm willing to take a bet on that. But there will be Layer 2s that potentially are side chains, but do something like how the Nakamoto upgrade is happening for Stacks. There will be innovation in those ways, is what I'm saying, that will help the on-chain economy roll. Bitcoin Core upgrade will never happen unless it needs to be.
So Udi disagrees with you. I'm going to show what he put here. He posted plot twist. This is what the runes trading experience is going to look like. Yes, same crap as BRC20. Another pop twist. plot twist. Opcat fixes this. Stay tuned. We'll have more to say about this tomorrow. So first of all, it's not going to be like BRC 20. It's in terms of aesthetics, yeah, it'll probably be very similar. But you do remove the transfer inscription, and as much as like people downplay that, it is a pain in the butt to like actually set that inscription so you can make those tokens from available to transferable or whatever. You know, so that is a big deal. I think people are going to realize that, you know, now whether like the whole UTXO and splitting those up whenever you're trying to buy secondary and having to wait for the transaction, all that stuff, that might be a pain, but I think there's a work around that as well. So we'll see. But I responded, you know, just to be playful here. And I said, I think most of us degens would be grateful for a computational functionality upgrade, but if you had to put a percentage on it being added back to core, what would that percentage be? And he replied with 100%. And in my mind, I'm just like, okay, he's probably trolling, or yeah, he truly believes that. And then I said, I need to be a fly on the wall of your day-to-day meetings, 'cause like, I want to know what he knows to think that, you know? But anyways, with that being said, you know, like he's obviously said this before. He's confident that it will happen. But a lot of people didn't think like upgrades like Taproot and SegWit would happen, right? Because they were fighting about
it's
that
just
for a while.
It's different now. It's different now with BlackRock in. They're not going to want any changes to happen.
I think that for sure that's a big difference. And
that's a monster's difference.
Yeah,
like, that's the biggest thing that ever happened to Bitcoin.
Yeah, they have the capital too to influence people. So
they can buy up all the miners.
Yep,
they own 40% of the S&P. It's nothing for them to buy, you know, Riot. That's valued at like less than $1 billion. That's nothing. You know what I mean? Like, it's just to think that, you know, that's going to happen is ridiculous. I'm sorry, Udi. I love Udi, but these guys are here now, and the last thing they want is something to go wrong. And an upgrade to Bitcoin will never happen unless it's crucial for the security of the chain, and it'll be a small change.
Yeah. No. I agree with that. But with that being said, we got to wrap it up. It's the end of the ordinal hour. We appreciate all you 273 people that have been hanging with us. Now we're going to get to the questions, which is the ordinal hour. So let's kick it off with ASO. He says, hey, boys, where can I watch the OG Pass exclusive videos? In Discord? You want to answer that question?
Yeah, there is no exclusive videos for OG Pass members, but there is for the YouTube members. So if you want to, there is a link in the description below. You can click that. It's $9.99 a month, and that's how you see the member videos. We do, in our Discord, we do have a members pass holder chat that you guys can check out, and we also have another one for YouTube members as well. So YouTube members and the pass holders are two different things. YouTube members do not get the airdrops and whitelists and stuff. But the pass holders do not get the videos. So you have to either be a part of both or choose the one that you think is more crucial to you.
Yep. Good answer there. You might have got confused with the fact that we airdropped the members, the OG pass, a while ago.
Well, that's how it started, but yeah.
For sure. All right. Let me get to this one. Patapu, our guy Patapu. He's an OG in the space. He says, what do you boys know about Rune Casey Dance? Noticed two dropped in my wallet. Do you know anything about Rune Casey Dance?
I don't know.
Patapu, put a comment in there. We don't know what you're talking about. So I'd like to know, though. If it's a video or something, that'd be really cool. All right, Rune Protocol. From Rune Protocol, it says, is Runes the future? Well, I mean, I don't know. Like, your name is
Rune Protocol. You tell us.
But I guess, do you think Runes is the future?
100%. Runes is going to defeat every other protocol. I'm sorry, BRC20s, but if they don't figure out the transfer inscription problem, then they're never going to be able to keep up. And there's going to be so much liquidity that's dropping into Runes. It's going to be insane. And there's going to be nothing that, you know, whatever the market cap of BRC20s is, Runes will be 10x by the end of next week.
Yeah. No, I think that at least it's the short-term future, that's for sure. We know that, like, there's a lot of sideline liquidity that's waiting for this. But appreciate that question there. All right. A perv from X. Do these tokens have any future utility? So this is a good question. You know, Casey actually posted about this. He said, the protocol itself definitely has the ability to build upon it. And so these tokens can be, you know, used as like a future utility type of thing, but that is not why he created it. He said he created it because everybody wanted a casino on Bitcoin. But 100%, he said 100% that it could be built that way, you know, building on top of this protocol. So,
yeah, I mean, you can have a governance token. You can stake these potentially. It'll be centralized staking, but you can still stake them and probably earn another token or earn something. There will definitely be some DeFi that you cannot do with BRC20s because of the transfer description that you can do with runes.
Yeah, that's gonna be interesting to see. That's for sure. All right, SAN 228, one of our OG members, he says, is there a way to see how many bots a Twitter account has, or is manually the only way? Do you know if there's a strategy?
There is a site. I just don't know. Let me look it up, Sayan, and I'll get back to you. Ask this question in a few days. I'll probably have the answer.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I think I heard someone, I think it was Tommy Two Clubs or somebody that's in the space, that's a leader in the space, said that like he's able to determine if like a new account with a lot of followers has a bot, if they have the same followers, because he follows a lot on purpose. I don't know if it was him, it was probably somebody else that said this, but like if you're seeing the same like accounts with low activity, then that's for sure. But yeah, I don't know if there's an automated way to check. All right, from Crypto Hot News _ Hot News, another member of ours, thank you for your membership, says, do you think Casey's runes 0 through 9 will be the alpha after having, so Casey is no longer hard scripting, hard coding 0 through 9 anymore into the runes protocol, only 0, which is uncommon goods. So yes, I actually think the first ones will matter, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how much they will matter. What do you think?
Yeah, I think Rune Zero is a token that I won't even touch. I don't think I'll ever own uncommon goods. There's no reason for me to look at it because how long it's going to take to mint out. It's going to take 4 years to mint out. So, and it's going to be to the price of the gas. Whatever gas is, that's how much these tokens are going to be. It's always going to be matched up with the price of gas because that's how much you can mint it for. It'll always be like basically a scenario where if it drops below the price of gas, you can like basically do a derivative, not derivative play, what's it called, when you can kind of arbitrage. Yeah, you can arbitrage it back, and when it, you know, same, so it'll always be an arbitrage play to get it under the gas fee, because then you're making money, and then that's really the name of it, and then you can sell it when gas gets high and stuff like that. So 1 through 9 are going to be huge. They'll probably be deployed in the first block, if not, you know, even more than that. So yes, I think 0 through 100, I'm sorry, 1 through 100 are going to be really sought after.
Yeah, imagine like some of the first BRC20s that launched that like skyrocketed, right? Like you had like Pizza, you had Meme. Yeah. Meme, I think, was like the second token ever. It was Meme after Ordi, and then like it just like took off. But you know, that will calm down like probably a couple months afterwards, like, because I imagine that's how it's going to be over here. The first ones, and then you're going to see some projects, and some of the projects are going to be fluff vapor, you know, like you had Oshi. Yeah. Dude, like Oshi was like the biggest psyop. It was the biggest psyop. But like if you got in early, you made so much money on Oshi
if you sold.
Yeah, if you sold. But like, man, like everybody and their mom had Oshi thinking that like it was going to be the AMM swap of the future, right? Like, and it literally was just, it was an awesome aesthetic graphic on their homepage of like this Japanese geisha. And it was like, you know what I'm saying? Like everybody was just like, oh, because BRC20s was new. Yeah. We're like, this is going to be the swap. This is going to be swap. And that lasted a long time, dude. Yeah. Like it got up to, what was the all-time high of Oshi? Do you remember?
$2,000.
I want to say a little bit more.
Nah.
I
mean, like maybe 20.
Either way, like if you minted, let's say you minted 50, oh, that's 100K. know, like you get 100K right when it gets to, you know, so there's going to, in my opinion, there's going to be stuff like that. There's going to be some solid stuff, you know, like Track was an is an actual indexer. Like they are indexing stuff. So like, you know, you got to be able to kind of determine, like in the beginning, hype will definitely pay you. But, you know, in my opinion, this is what I'm going to do. I'm not going to get married to my bags.
Do not marry your bags, guys. Sell the peanuts while the circus is in town. When that circus leaves town, don't get stuck with the peanuts because you can't sell them.
It's not financial advice, though, but it's common sense.
I'm just saying, if you sold peanuts for a living, sell your peanuts when the circus is in town. Because
he's talking about actual peanuts. I'm
just saying,
you can make some money off of them circuses, man. The zoo.
If you have enough peanuts. Zoo.
All right, Crypto Noob, another member of ours. He says, once Merle is whitelisted on Merlin Swap, do you see a similar run up like the MP token?
I actually see a dump,
stronger,
a pretty harsh dump. I see it dropping to about $1.50 because it's going to come out around $2.90, I believe. It's going to be higher for the first week. So yeah, I think you're right. You're going to see a run up to like $2.90, $3.50, and then you're going to see a sell off all the way down to about $1.50, $1. That's my buy range is around $1, because that's kind of puts it in the top 100 instead of the top 50. And so I'll be buying around $1, and I'm hoping you guys paper hand that and give it to me that cheap, because I see it going to $8-$9 towards the end. So
yeah. No, yeah, I mean that's probably how it's gonna play out, maybe just on a larger scale than Merlin Swap, because it is a larger market cap and a larger like expectation of Merle.
Yeah.
I would say like if you were to rank the tokens as of right now on there, Merle has the highest expectation. And then probably the Bit Smiley Governance token, then MP, and then Merlin Starter, and down the list. Yeah, down the list. So Diago Rec, it says, please put captions in your videos? ? So like we'll look into that. Maybe we can do that.
I don't know how to do it. I mean,
yeah, we'll look into it. We'll get our tech guy, because we have a tech guy. Hey, tech guy.
It's just two people running the show, bro. I mean, we're doing the best we can, but
no, we'll look into that, because I think that could be, you know, important for international viewers, right? So all right, our boy Nocturnal, what's up, Nocturnal? Member, great member of ours, our channel, and as well as a OSD honk. Love the curse goosenal there. Says, what's good, Yago B? Did you pick up another panda yesterday? Also looks like frogs are doing their thing. Ribbit. Yes, they are doing their thing. I did not pick up another panda, and I'm like regretting that I didn't. I was busy with family. You know, I was just hanging out with family yesterday. But like, if those pandas are like good price on secondary, I will not hesitate to pick up a couple of those. Yeah. That community to me is like, man, when I see the DMs, we're talking about Ailu and the meta pandas, by the way, for the people trying to figure out what we're talking about. It's a pretty tight knit, crazy sounding community, cultish. And usually those end up like doing very well long-term. I don't know. What do you think about the pandas?
This question wasn't towards me. It's only towards you. So
I'm asking you.
I'm not going to give you an answer.
I'm asking you what you're thinking.
I was gifted one. You know, we'll see what the floor price is. If it's under amount that I'm looking like under like $500, I'll probably pick up a few. If it's over $500, I'll probably just be happy to keep my one.
Yeah. And then, I mean, like that team is talented. I think that like the founders from the Cypherpunk group, which, you know, those guys know their stuff, you know, very, very well. And so, you know, he's trying to create this entire like metaverse around, you know, the pandas. And I don't know, man, like I just hearing him talk, just I'm a big nerd when it comes to that kind of stuff. Like, you know, I love like futuristic possibilities, imagination. That's why I like binge watched Fallout. I love that kind of stuff. So we'll see.
Did you finish it? I watched the first one,
dude. Yes. Well, you watched the first episode?
I did. It was so good.
Okay.
So good.
But it gets better, dude. Like
the first one's insane, bro. The goal.
Well, I felt like the first one, like with the storylines, there was like it was hard, but then like once it started getting the storylines together, yeah, I was like, okay. But the starting from the second episode on, bro, you're gonna be.
Dude, I thought the first one was phenomenal. But the goal is that the guy from the very beginning.
Yeah. I mean, you could tell
on the horse. Yeah. I wasn't 100% sure. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
I know you guys here for.
Yeah, freaking Sizzy, not even caring about the audience right here.
I needed to know. I needed to know.
Yeah. That doesn't ruin it though. So I recommend that show to our audience too. Fallout. It's based on the game, but it's a whole new adaptation of it. So
yeah, I saw you tweet about it, and I was like, I watched one. It was pretty good.
Yeah, it's good. Steve Verse says, "What do you make of the ETFs approved in Hong Kong today?" So we talked a little bit about this earlier. You want to start off what your thoughts are?
Yeah, if you just go back to the beginning of this episode, you could hear more of it. But I'm very bullish on it. I think it is absolutely huge. Hong Kong is obviously controlled by China, and what used to be controlled by England, but now it's controlled fully back by China. It's like the only really free state in China, and I think that's absolutely huge. So.
Yeah, I'm really big on this. Look, United States and China are the top two powers of the world in terms of economy and economic growth, right? And so I think if they both have Bitcoin ETFs, what's not to be like uber bullish on that? You know, those two powers bought into Bitcoin. We know that because of this. And so all the naysayers, the Peter Schiffs and all that stuff, I feel bad for them. Well, not really. They probably have money anyways, but anyways. All right. Good question there. Glasshopper 77, another member of ours. Any hints on upcoming alpha this week for members? Runes. That's the hint. Just kidding.
Yeah. We just have a lot of we're talking to a lot of different people trying to get some of the best alpha for you guys or the members of the member video. We did put out a member video on Sunday telling you guys what you should be looking for when you're minting. So if you want to check that out, definitely join the members. But yeah, we do. Glasshopper, we're just gonna be playing it. We're going to tell you exactly what we're buying. We're going to do a lot of member videos over the weekend. They're going to be like a few minutes real quickly. So definitely have that notification on so you can kind of get exactly what we're buying and what time we're minting and all that stuff. So as soon as like we're thinking about buying it, we're going to do a video on it and then probably buy it like during the video. But there's going to be a lot of stuff. Everything's going to be very fast paced. So it might be after. You'll see. Well, we'll definitely follow our Twitter, follow our Discord, and definitely hit the members thing on there to get all that alpha. But yeah.
Yep. All right. I think that is it. That's going to wrap up our questions for today. We got a big week ahead of us, with runes just preparing. Like I mentioned, I'm going to be out tomorrow. Got to take care of some personal stuff. But Shizzy's going to be here with a guest. Two guests.
It'll be J25 and Kramer from OSD. Definitely going to have those guys on. And Nocturnal, if you're interested, I'm not sure if you're docs, but if you want to come on as well, that'd be fun. If you want to join us too, have a whole full OSD crew in here. But yeah, they're sending me topics as we speak. My phone's been going up, so I asked them, the guys, to send me some topics. Should be a fun show. It's going to be OSD in here. It's going to be a little different. It's going to be loud and obnoxious, so I'm going to be full on OSD mode. It's going to be a fun show, so definitely tune in for that tomorrow.
Yeah, 100%. We love those guys, the Orange Cubicle podcast and the OSD crew. So we appreciate you guys. Stay glued to our episodes this week. We're going to try to also get a couple of runes projects that will have a runes token eventually on the show. 20 minute kind of like breakdown of what their project offers. I've been in DMs to get that for you guys before, and then just being focused and look at that timeline and watch our episodes and make sure you're watching the members videos. But anything I left out?
No, I think we're good, man. Definitely check out OrdinalRevolution.com. If you guys are going to Nashville, definitely check out 20% off. If you are going to Nashville, make sure you have Ordinals gear. If it's not from us, get it from somewhere else. But make sure the Maxis know that you're in Ordinals. Let's have as much Ordinal gear in Nashville as possible. We will be there. So if you're going to Nashville, hit us up. Definitely like to meet you guys. Definitely want to have community meetups. It should be great. And I think that's everything now, right?
Yep. I think we wrapped it all up. So we will see you guys. Well, Shizzy will see you guys tomorrow, and I'll see you on Wednesday. But be ready, guys. That's all I'll say.
See you guys.
Peace.
We OG.
Arnold. You're not bullish enough. Yeah. Oh no, you're not bullish enough. You ain't got the Arno. I get stoned by the bolo. Bitcoin set to Olo. Yeah. Experts on reload. Yeah, yeah. You're not bullish enough. Yeah. Oh no, you're not bullish enough. You ain't got the Arno. I get stoned by the bolo. Bitcoin set to Olo. Experts on reload, reload. Man, boo getting hot. Everybody wanna rock. Hey. Rooms is coming, everybody on a night, ay. It's a nuisance, order no revolution, ay. Order no revolution.
Yo, is my guy for real, bro? Got French right now. Yo, BRC 420, bro. Yo, that shit's on fire, bro. Imagine if he in here.
Yeah, like it in a seal.
Murder.
I got balls of steel. Nuki on the field. Yeah, this shit for real. With no calls, I get so far. Got 100 phone calls that I go hard. And they gon' love me. Smoke weed, huddle back. I get shiesty. Where my Bitcoin looking lovely. All this Satoshi's nothing above me.